Welcome to the Two Mics on the Record podcast.
Indeed.
I'm Mike Graham. The other voice you can hear is...
Me, Mike Porky Parry.
Indeed, it is.
The Porkmeister.
Now, we're already... It's incredible how quickly this month is going. We're already approaching Valentine's Day in the middle of February.
Valentine's
Day. It's absolutely extraordinary, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
On Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Same as I do every year. I just ignore it.
You ignore it?
Yeah, I don't want people to send me Valentine's cards.
Nah,
it's such a rubbish, isn't it?
No flowers to somebody?
Listen, Valentine's Day comes and leaves you at the age of about 16. Excuse me, it's air conditioning. Yes, it does.
That's rubbish.
Of course it does.
That's not true.
I've still got somewhere, or at least my mum did have, God rest her soul, a huge card from Trudy when I was 16 on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Huge one.
Trudy, the one you dumped.
I didn't dump her.
Yeah,
with a huge heart on the front. No, we went our separate ways.
No, you dumped her. You told me you dumped her.
I didn't dump her at all.
You did. You went to Torquay with her.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then shortly afterwards, you realised that you had to go and forge your signal quest for greed and power and domination around the world of Fleet Street.
Right.
So you decided you didn't have any use for any baggage.
So
you told me that's why you dumped her.
So you're just saying...
And you went to Newcastle.
That ambition's a bad thing, are you?
I'm not saying that, no. Yeah, I'm saying you chose to dump her.
I did,
You can't admit
I
it.
I didn't dump her.
Oh, now you've just admitted it.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I encouraged her to go and find new friends. I knew that would include a boyfriend because
she
couldn't
upset
take her to Newcastle. Oh, she's very upset.
Yeah.
She didn't wash her hair for a week.
Really?
Didn't wash her hair for a week.
I thought that's pretty much normal for Cheshire, isn't it?
What a stupid thing to say.
Why?
For a boy brought up in a rented flat, you know, where you never...
What's wrong with renting?
You didn't even have a fucking central heating, you know?
So I didn't have central heating.
So you were brought up in peasant circumstances.
No, I wasn't.
I was brought up in Chester, the county town of Chester.
I was brought up as a bohemian, with a creative bent. That's what I was
Bollocks.
Brought up as.
But anyway...
Anyway, you dumped her, didn't you?
We went our separate ways. She went on to have a great life.
Did she? How did you know that?
I'm reliably informed. Reliably informed.
Yeah, does she still live in Chester?
I think you should look her up. I've tried to, but I haven't seen her since 91.
Tried to?
Yeah, since 1991.
When was the last time you tried?
92. Well, quite recently. I mean, I write pieces sometimes for the Chester Chronicle.
Do you?
Just to keep my you know, persona.
When was the last piece you wrote for them?
I don't know, about 18 months ago.
What was it about?
It was about Chester, the club. You know, I did a piece for their sports editor.
Yeah,
seriously, yeah, the football club.
Did you tell him about how you used to stitch up the sports editor of the Chester
Chronicle? No, not in any way at all.
Really?
And, of course, I go back to Chester quite regularly, stay at the Grosvenor Hotel.
Yeah.
I swan around Chester, obviously.
You're a known figure there, eh?
Quite well known.
I thought you were going up to speak to the school, by the way.
I am.
When's that happening?
They haven't given me a date yet, but, I mean, it will be...
Well, hang on, I thought they'd already booked it.
No, they've got a dinner on to welcome the new headmaster, but I couldn't go to it. It was a Friday night, and I didn't want to get up there and do it. You know, I had better things to do.
Well, you had to do a radio show with me.
Well, exactly, yeah. Well, sorry, I thought I had better things to do, but obviously I didn't. But there we are.
Anyway, Porky.
Yes?
Do you ever read The Economist?
I certainly do.
Why?
I love it, I'm telling you. The Economist is about more than just economics, by the way. You think, you know, The Economist, oh, it's going to be business and finance, highfalutin and all that. No, it covers a real range of subjects. World politics certainly is involved, and business, but, you know, you've got all the science, technology, arts, the environment, reviews. I love it, honestly. I love it. It's a thoroughly great read.
Do you know what's interesting as well? You're a smart guide to the forces impacting your world, basically.
Yep.
It doesn't just cover the news as we know it.
That's right.
It also goes behind the news. And you know what I've been looking at this week? A fantastic story, which is actually on the cover, and it's the truth about big oil and climate change, because everybody assumes that the oil business is dying, right?
Yeah.
That the oil business is not going to be going in about 50 years' time, because we're all going to be so keen on saving the planet.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? That's not true.
Well,
the Economist has got a great piece in which they talk about ExxonMobil in particular and some of the other big oil companies around the world.
That's right.
They're actually planning on making more oil.
Yeah.
They're actually exploring more places.
Yeah.
And right now, there's even a conference going on in Egypt, big oil and gas conference, where all
the
people who make all of that stuff and all the people who bring it out of the ground and find it under the sea are actually doing a brilliant job.
Fantastic. That's a story at the high end, okay? But I love... the way that The Economist gets to the nitty-gritty of it all. You know, it sifts through the noise, focuses on essential information that can sometimes tell a real story. And the one that I spotted in this week's edition were a couple of brothers called the Siri brothers from Blackburn, Lancashire.
Oh, yeah.
4,000 holes in Blackburn, Lancashire. They're originally from Bury, but do you know what they did?
What did they do?
They're a second-generation Asian family who came here. So many Asian people are good at business and do business here. They started off by buying one petrol station that was run down, and they thought, how can we turn this fork up? They've now got 380 petrol stations across this country.
Right.
And The Economist have done a bit of a focus on them just to say, if they can do it, anybody can do it. A real success story. Mm. And I love those sort of stories. I really do. Now then, if you want to get a print copy of The Economist, what do we have to do?
Well, what you need to do is never stop
asking
questions.
And is this to get a free copy?
This is to get a free print copy of The Economist. What you do is you text the word record to this number, 78070.
You're right. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. Mm. If you want to explore and actually get your free print copy of The Economist, then please, people, and by the way, it's full of very readable stuff, just text RECORD, RECORD, to 78070. Okay, folks? Don't miss The Economist. Now, I want to tell you about, because this touches on the history of you and I.
Yeah.
Do you remember who Edward Morrison was?
Edward Morrison.
No, you won't, because I didn't.
I don't think
And he was the New York deputy mayor.
Right.
And he was the man who stood up for John Lennon when Richard Nixon and the FBI were determined to have him deported.
Well, that was way before we were ever in New York.
It was way before, but the reason I bring this up is that Morrison has only just died. He was aged 85.
Okay.
But he was still a prominent New York politician when we were there. He was an advisor to Ed Koch.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't remember the name at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Ed Koch.
Yeah.
Ed Koch was the man responsible for that great parking sign, which is still there in New York when you go.
Yeah.
And the sign just says, don't even think of parking here. Very New York. You
know,
it's great.
Yeah, yeah,
it's much better than no parking.
Well, he was great, Ed Koch. If his mayoral limo was going down, you know, East River Drive or something like that, and there was a crash or something like that, pull over, pull over. And then he always travelled with his own photographer. So the limo would pull over, Ed Koch would get out, take his jacket off, and then would be pictured holding the car up, you know, to get the victim out from underneath the car, while his photographer took pictures all the time.
Then get back in the car. Then
get back in the car. Or he would smear oil on his shirt, you know, and throw himself on the floor, you know, like
he was a great politician.
Yeah,
I mean,
was,
whatever you say about it. I always remember when, in 1986, I think it was, Pittsburgh were playing the New York Mets in not the World Series, that was against Boston.
Right.
But I think it was one of the playoff games.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And the mayor of Pittsburgh was mouthing off about New
York,
you know. And saying, you know, and so there's a press conference, and the press room, and they said to Ed Koch, they said, hey, the mayor of Pittsburgh, Mayor Koch has been telling us all about how shit New York is. And he just went, and he waited for this, and he just stopped, and he said, where's Pittsburgh? Which was the great answer, because, you know, who gives a fuck about Pittsburgh, you know? Nobody's heard of it.
Anyway, that was all Mayor Koch. Anyway, this is Andrew Morrison. When Richard Nixon administration attempted to deport John Lennon from the United States in the early 1970s, the former Beatle turned peace activist and found an unlikely champion in Edward Morrison. President Nixon feared that Lennon and his wife Yoko Ono, who had moved to New York in 1971, were making such strong protests against the Vietnam War, they would exert a radical influence on American youth.
Right.
More to the point, Nixon was concerned that Lennon represented a threat to his chances of re-election, particularly as the federal voting age had been lowered from 21 to 18.
Right.
So it's a bit like what happened here, really, with Jeremy Corbyn. You see what I mean? Once people realised, oh, I've got the vote at 18, they'll go and vote for Jeremy Corbyn because they haven't got a gas bill and they think, you know, we haven't got a house and we want one.
Well, this is why all the Labour people want it to go down to 60.
Of course they do,
you know,
for exactly the same reason. So anyway, everybody knew the young people were the strongest anti-war constituency. So this is happening all over again, okay? And the academic and historian John Wiener, wasn't he the guy who founded Rolling Stone?
No, wasn't that he? Was Jan Wiener.
Oh, Jan Wiener, okay, yeah. John Wiener said, the question was, could Lennon use his power as a celebrity to get young people into the political process and get them to call for the Vietnam War to be abandoned?
Yeah.
Lennon signals in his intention in a magazine article he co-wrote with Ono. To the hard-hats who think that they don't have the power to free themselves from the tyranny of the capitalists, it's not their power or money that is controlling you. The power depends on your fear and apathy. Remember to vote.
Mm.
And then went off to the studios and wrote, power to the people.
Right. Okay.
Boom, boom.
So power this was presumably
to
Mr.
the
Morrison,
people.
Presumably, however, failed in his mission, though, did he not?
Because, no, he kept him in America, if you think about it. Yeah,
did
of course
he not
he
get
did.
Kicked out then?
No, he never got kicked out.
So when he did the bedding, that was when he couldn't get in, presumably.
That was before he went. Right. When John Lennon went to America in 1971, he never stepped foot out of America again because he thought he wouldn't get back in.
So the bedding was in Canada then, wasn't it?
The bedding was in Canada.
Because
that one, that's right.
At that point, they wouldn't let him in.
They wouldn't let him in.
So he went to Canada. Canada first.
That's right, he did. Okay. And before that, he'd done the bedding in Amsterdam.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
But the only places he went inside America were like California, you know, with Mai Ying, you know, who he had an affair with and all that.
Oh, yes.
Mei Pang, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Mei Pang, Mai Ying, or something
like
that.
Well, that's where our friend Mickey Brennan took pictures. Remember, I showed you the pictures of John Lennon by the pool in Beverly Hills?
That's right.
And then also inside a sort of a hotel or apartment or something.
That's right.
Writing music, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Anyway, Nixon was further spooked by Lennon's appearance at a political rally with Jerry Rubin and Bobby Seale. And Bobby Seale was the guy who led the Black Panthers.
That's right.
These were political radicals, okay?
Right.
So Nixon was really panicking. So, acting on the president's instruction, the FBI, under J. Edgar Hoover, put Lennon under surveillance with 30 men constantly on his case in and around the Dakota building
they
where he lived.
About, do they?
Where you and I went last year, right? You
exactly.
Know. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And produced a 300-page dossier on him. Hoover told Nixon that Lennon's main reason for his existence is to destroy blindly and indiscriminately, to tear down modern society and provoke chaos. Nixon and Hoover agreed that Lennon had to be neutralised, right? You know.
Amazing language.
It had to be neutralised, and they started immediate deportation filing papers citing a conviction for marijuana possession, which made him an unwelcome alien. He was given 15 days to leave the country or face a formal deportation hearing, at which point this Edward Morrison joined in and accused the American government of bias and being anti-democratic.
Okay.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
Amazing he stayed there, and how he stayed there, who knows?
Well, I mean, the thing is, he was probably exercising his will, John Lennon, wasn't he? But what he wasn't doing was trying to create chaos and destroy America.
No.
Because one of the reasons he moved to America was because he loved America.
That's right.
And he thought America was a great place, and he had a great respect for the musical heritage of America.
Yes.
Great respect for New York.
Yes.
If it hadn't been for that, he'd never have met Yoko Ono, probably, anyway.
No, he met Yoko Ono in England, and they went to America together. One of the things he liked in America, and, you know, we know this from living there, is that you could come out of the Dakota building, unless, obviously, there's some nutter waiting there to shoot you, which is obviously what happened in the end.
Or some nutter reenacting the shooting, like you did.
Nearly getting arrested, But you could walk down, you know, Central Park West and go to coffee bars and sit in coffee bars and have coffee with Yoko. Mm. And nobody hassled him, you know, nobody bothered him. Because it was so, well, we know it was, isn't it? You used to see, like, stars making films on the streets all the time.
It wasn't cool to go up to people.
No, it wasn't cool at all.
And the only people that do it are actually tourists.
The only people who are tourists. Remember once, Jane Seaman, that is, she met...
Your ex.
Not my ex.
She is your ex.
Not really, she's a friend.
Not really.
In New York.
Well, you slept with her.
Well, yeah, but I mean, a lot of people did, to be fair, you know.
I didn't.
Well, no,
bizarrely.
No, but you were with Susan, and if you weren't engaged, you were married or whatever, you know. But no, what I'm saying is that she was in a bar down on the Lower East Side one time, and her friend said, you know, come through here to another room and all that.
Yeah.
And it was very much Al Pacino territory, Lower East Side, where he grew up. And there was Pacino.
Right.
And he was sitting there with a trilby hat on his head over his eyes. Everyone could see him.
Right.
And he pushed his hat back and she couldn't believe it was Al Pacino. Yeah. I mean, Al Pacino is very, very famous in New York.
Yeah,
you know
he's
what
very
I mean?
Famous everywhere.
Well, he is, but particularly in New York, isn't it? You know, I mean, he's a
and
New
did
York
she talk to him or did she leave
him alone? No, she talked to him. She talked to him for about 20 minutes, half an hour. But in those days, she didn't have, like, phones with cameras.
There was no pictures.
So you couldn't take
your
pictures unless you happened upon a, you know, one of these throwaway cameras or something like that.
Well, I remember standing in a cinema queue. Yeah. Once with my soon-to-be wife, and we began to see something in Midtown, and I turned around, and about two lots of people behind me was Andy Warhol, his boyfriend.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to talk to him. You see,
why not?
Oh, he's fucking rubbish.
Well, he wasn't rubbish. No. He was an iconic figure in Manhattan's fucking history.
Painting tins of tomato soup
and being
heralded as a genius artist. I could paint a tin of tomato soup.
Yeah, but you didn't do it.
Yeah.
One, you can't, right?
Two, of course I could.
It wasn't really a painting. It was more of a silk screen print, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's a picture of a can of soup.
But it was all about the factory. You know about the factory, don't you?
Yeah, what factory?
No, you don't. Well, you don't know about the factory.
Yeah, I know about the factory.
What factory?
About
no, the factory was his sort of art house place that he opened up, which spawned Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground, which spawned Blondie.
What do you mean spawned them? He wasn't a musician.
Yeah, he was. Andy Warhol discovered the Velvet Underground.
Bollocks.
And discovered,
well, he never made a record,
discovered J.J. Cale. I mean, you know,
who's
this
was a guy, J.J. Cale?
He's one of the great guitarists of all time.
Yeah, bollocks.
He's not bollocks.
There's a load of bollocks.
What do you think of Lou Reed? Lou Reed would never have come to fruition if it wasn't for Andy Warhol.
Why?
Because Andy Warhol discovered him.
What do you mean discovered him? He didn't. Andy Warhol wasn't a musician.
Andy Warhol operated this place called The Factory, right?
Yeah.
Which was a very trendy hangout
for people.
It was in Manhattan.
Right. Yeah, I know it was in Manhattan, but whereabouts?
It was on Park Avenue South, I think. In the days before that became very trendy.
Park Avenue South is the Essex House Hotel.
No, it's not. That's Central Park South.
Oh, yeah, that's
Park
right,
Avenue
yeah.
South.
Park Avenue South.
Park
sorry,
Avenue
yeah.
South that's, of Grand that, Central.
That's right, Grand Central, under the tunnel.
Well, you go, when you get to about, I would say,
it's the
26,
Pan Am building.
Yeah, it's not Pan Am anymore. It's called something else.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
But you come underneath that. By the time you get down to about 28th Street, that's Park Avenue South.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Everywhere south of that, down to Union Square.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of down there. And it was the point about it was about movies, it was about theatre, it was about music, it was about art, it was about culture.
Yeah.
The Factory was an organisation which kind of encourage people to be arty, basically.
Yeah, you know.
And I mean, so he was a very iconic figure. He wasn't just some wanker of an artist who painted baked beans.
Yeah, well, he
Campbell's
did though.
Soup.
That Liam Neeson's got himself into a bit of a kerfuffle, hasn't he?
We'll talk about that because it's an interesting one. We're going to stop for a second because we are the two mics. This is On the Record.
Right, OK. Now, I'll tell you what I want to talk to you about, all right?
Yeah, go on.
I want to talk to you about...
I'm telling you.
I want to talk to you about the extraordinary list of Naomi Campbell's boyfriends.
Naomi Campbell's boyfriend,
yeah. She's got a new boyfriend.
She's not what you might regard as a spring chicken, is she?
No, she's 48.
Yeah.
And guess who she's going out with now?
She's going out with that bloke Liam Payne, isn't she?
Liam Payne, who's aged 25.
Who was Cheryl's boyfriend, wasn't he?
Cheryl's boyfriend.
She's had a few boyfriends
Why, aye. Well,
I can't remember what my fucking name is, so I'll just call him instead of Cheryl.
I used to be like Cheryl Cool,
aye.
But my husband went around shagging other women and
aye.
Taking pictures of his privates and sending them to other women.
Right.
And then...
what was her name before that? Cheryl Tweedy, wasn't
Cheryl
it?
Tweedy. I was a Newcastle lass, Cheryl
aye.
Tweedy. But I went into a nightclub one night and I beat somebody up, you know. But I didn't, you know...
The best not say too much
no,
about that.
No, I don't want to say too much about that. And then after Ashley Cole, you know, ran out on me, like, because he was taking pictures of his privates, you know, and sent them to her. But he said that it was, like, on a throwaway telephone that, you know, he'd give to his mate, and it weren't his privates, it was his mate's privates.
Well,
but they
know.
Looked like his privates to me.
She should know, wouldn't you?
But then I went and married some fella called Vazarsi, I think
he
was.
He had two names, didn't he? Double-barreled character.
No, I think she called herself Cheryl Tweedy Vazarsi, what I mean? Yeah,
right.
Or something like that, you know. And, you know, that was going grand, like, that was going
and
well.
And then she went back to Cheryl again.
She
just called herself Cheryl, like Madonna.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that's because I'm so famous now,
right.
You know. She's got a new show called The Dance or something, right?
The Dance Off, yeah.
And I think that's, like, you know...
That doesn't look very good to
Well, I'm not going to make judgment. I haven't seen it. I don't know the figures. You know, you struggle for figures on a Saturday night, don't you? But anyway, so
you struggle for anything on a Saturday night by the time you finish watching Everton lose again.
Hey. So her last boyfriend was...
Yeah.
As you quite rightly said, who?
Hey, Liam Payne.
Liam Payne, age 25, from 1D.
Wasn't she living with him?
Yeah, I think they were, yeah. So anyway, Liam Payne and Cheryl are now no more.
Right.
Perhaps Liam Payne didn't let, you know, Geordie land, like. I went up there and I said, Liam, you're going to have a bit of stotty cake with me, you know. And we're going down to Gazza's favourite pub, you know, in Gateshead.
When she lived with Ashley Cole, was it her mother that moved in with them?
I think it was, yeah.
Because can you imagine anything worse than that? I mean, I know you've never been married, but you can imagine the bad scene whereby you've got your wife in one room.
Yeah.
And the mother-in-law in another one.
Well, also,
can't imagine anything fucking worse.
All I would say is, because I've seen the house they lived in, it's next door to John Terry's. It's a huge fucking house.
That's proper stockbroker belt, sorry.
Oh, proper stockbroker. It's Cobham.
Unlike where you live.
Cobham.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when you say their mother moved in, it was a cottage in the grounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I thought she was in the same house, though.
Well, there was a tunnel link between the two.
Yeah.
You know, but the doors could be closed from either side.
No, I mean... Cottage in the grounds is one thing.
I'm
pretty sure one of the reasons that he got fucked off was because basically she was there all the time.
It was called a granny flat, but it was a very spectacular type granny flat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, that was years ago. So anyway, Anyway, so old.
Why are you so interested in Naomi Campbell's sex life? Anyway?
Well, I think it's fascinating. I'm just going to tell you why.
Uh-huh.
So Naomi Campbell,
who's not a Geordie.
No, she's not a Geordie. She's a Croydon girl,
I think. Yeah, I think she is.
Croydon
Streatham or something like that.
Yeah, Streatham. I think Streatham's absolutely right, yeah. And she's always been unlucky in love because she never got married, I don't think.
Well, I don't know about unlucky in love. I mean, she's had a pretty decent life, hasn't she?
Well, I'm just going to read out to you now, very quickly, of her boyfriends, okay?
Yeah, all right.
So here we go.
Hmm.
Mike Tyson, Eric Clapton, Adam Clayton of U2.
Yeah.
Goldie, Prince Albert.
Right. Prince Albert of Monaco.
Right. Joaquin Cortez.
Don't know who that is.
He's a Spanish dancer.
Joaquin, probably, isn't it?
Joaquin. Joaquin Cortez, you know, yeah. Right, Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Whose last public pronouncement was, fuck Trump.
Right, that's true.
That's all I got to say.
But then somebody sent Trump a bomb to his restaurant, so he doesn't say it so much anymore.
That's right, yeah. So, and then Sly Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
Rocky star found
Adrian!
A knockout.
Do you know what? The other night, I was watching Rocky 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And having had a couple of glasses of wine, I was trying to convince one of my kids to watch it, right?
Yeah.
Fuck me, was it bad? Mm. It was really bad.
Rocky 2?
Yeah.
Well, that's when he won the championship at the end. Against Apollo Creed.
I thought he lost it to Apollo Creed.
No. In the first fight, it was Adrian, and he'd been battered to death by Apollo. But he got a rematch in the second.
Does that
mean
Apollo dies, though?
No, Apollo dies in the third one.
In the third one.
When
he's established
world champion.
By Mr. T or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, all I remember was, I thought it was a lot better than this. It was bloody rubbish.
I loved all the...
I mean, I like Rocky 1.
Yeah.
And I quite like Rocky, the one with Dolph Lundgren.
Sure.
Which I think is Rocky 4.
Rocky 4, yeah, that's
that
right.
I quite like.
Yeah, okay.
But I didn't like the Mr. T one.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, anyway, so let's go down this.
He must have been a lot taller than Stallone, because he's tiny.
Oh, he's tiny, he's 5 foot eight.
He has to stand in a box.
Sly Stallone, I remember on the front of the News of the World, when they used to get away with writing these things, actually said that Stallone allegedly, according to this report in the News of the World, which is no longer around, so they can't sue me, but the Sly Stallone might. They allege that he made a movie, you know, an in-house movie of their sexual shenanigans, you know what I mean?
Well,
you
I've certainly heard stories about Stallone that I can't repeat
until
after he's dead.
Yes, exactly,
And then I'll tell you them.
Anyway, moving on from there, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
That was a rumoured romance. There's never
been...
Well,
I think he's shagged everybody.
Well, I think he has, yeah. You know. I think he has, yeah.
I mean, I think he's a busy boy.
The Wolf of Wall Street has, you know...
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, he's been wolfing a bit down, if you know
what
I mean.
Well, I mean,
you know,
every time you see him, he's with a new Brazilian supermodel.
He is.
You know.
Flavio Briatore.
Okay.
Now, he was the guy who,
The bloke that owned QPR.
He co-owned it with a load of other playboys. Mm. But
racing guy.
Oh, yeah, made his fortune in motor racing. Formula One chief. They were engaged in 1998, but separated in 2003. Naomi has called him since his mentor.
Did you mention Clapton?
Eric Clapton's right at the top of the list.
Because I've got a feeling I doorstepped her in New York when she was seeing Clapton.
She was 23 in 1993 when Clapton was 40.
Okay,
right.
So it would have been just before that.
Okay.
Like 91, probably 92.
Yeah, okay.
Because I remember going down to a place in the bottom of 7th Avenue.
Right.
Where she was living in this beautiful sort of converted loft building.
Yeah, right.
Full of supermodels.
Right, okay.
You know, Cindy Crawford was living there. She was living there.
What, in the same
building? Christy Turlington. Yeah, they were all in the same building.
Was it like one of the agencies?
I think the agencies
rented,
put them... Yeah, I think they put them all in there.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
You know, because they were making fortunes. This was when old... when who was it that said... I don't get out of bed for
less than $10,000 a day.
Was that Christy Turlington?
It's either Christy Turlington or it was the other very long-legged lady.
Do you know Christy Turlington, right?
Yeah.
And I've told you before about my sort of tangential friendship with, what's his face, Justin Timberlake.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I've also got a tangential friendship with Christy Turlington.
Right.
And so have you, because but you won't know why.
Mm.
Do you remember Ed Burns?
Ed
Burns, who was the NYPD press officer,
right? That's right. He used to always come to New York, up to
Costello's all the time.
Yeah.
He was brilliant because he would always tip us off about where movies were being
shot.
That's
right, yeah.
Because the NYPD had to get given permission.
Permission, yeah, that's
so
right.
So he'd always let us know.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Michael J. Fox is filming you know, Back to the Future 3.
That's right, yeah.
Over on 57th and 6th today, if you want to get over there.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, right?
That's right, yeah.
His son, right, is a massively well-known now director in Hollywood.
Right, okay.
Also called Ed Burns.
Right.
who is married to Christy Turlington.
Really?
Yeah.
Good God.
And he lives in this massive mansion because his son's made such a lot of money.
Yeah.
He retired. He now lives in this massive mansion in California.
What, his son's giving him the money?
His son, his son bought him a mansion. It's in Florida, sorry.
Wow.
He rang me one day, right, Ed? And he said...
How long ago was this?
This was a few years ago.
Yeah.
But by this time, Ed Burns had made quite a lot of money and made quite a name for himself.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Mike, my son's coming over to London. Mm. Would you mind showing him around? And I'm just like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a fucking Hollywood director.
That's right, yeah.
Is he bringing Christy Turlington with him?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And then it never happened in the
end. Never happened, no.
But he was like, you know, he's never been to London before. Would you mind, you know, showing him the ropes and all this?
Bloody hell. Right, okay. Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio.
But he appeared to be elbowed out for the favours of Johnny Depp.
Ah, yes.
Okay, so...
He's also been around a bit.
Johnny Depp's been around a bit. Right. Okay, after Flavio Briatore, who was once described by one of his girlfriends as the perfect playboy, right? Yeah, I'm not quite sure
why. What does that mean?
Well, who knows? Who knows? But I mean, he's a very, you know, handsome Italian-looking guy.
He's had his own yacht.
He also had a nightclub in Sardinia called the Billionaires.
Right.
Never mind the Millionaires.
Well, I think anyone who's got his own yacht and his own Formula One team is probably going to get quite a lot of women.
Yeah, indeed.
You know what I mean?
In fact, funny enough, we used to have a racing correspondent at TalkSport whose name I can't remember.
Bob. McKenzie?
No, it wasn't Bob McKenzie.
Oh, sorry, I'm talking about the Daily Express.
Yeah,
Bob
you
McKenzie.
Are. No, I'm talking about TalkSport. And this guy, I mean, the guy running TalkSport at the time was a hopelessly incompetent tosspot who just threw money around because it wasn't his money. Investors put money in. We were losing like £1 million a month.
Right.
Amongst the £1 million a month, we were paying this Formula One correspondent £17,500 every weekend. There was a Formula One race.
Really?
£17,500. Because he claimed he had access to all the top stars, the top drivers, and it was a 5-day event. Right. You know, you'd go on Wednesday for the practicing and all that, stay until Monday. Nobody gives a fuck about practice and all that. But he was talked into doing it.
Well, it's not to make very good radio, does it?
It makes hopeless radio. But anyway, when I met him once, he said, well, you know, as you can probably imagine, he said, the shagging scene in Formula One, he said, is, you know, really pretty disgraceful, you know. This guy was middle-aged and married at home in England, you know.
Yeah.
And he said that the biggest shaggers were Flavio Briatore.
Yeah.
But the other one was Eddie, what's his name?
Jordan.
No, not Eddie Jordan. No. Mr. Jordan, you are clear to this. Eddie, he was co-driver at Ferrari to Michael Schumacher and once slowed his car down to allow Schumacher to overtake in, I think, the Australian Grand Prix. His name is Eddie... What's his name?
Don't
you know the guy I'm talking about?
I do know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
But he was... Apparently, he was the mega shagger. And
well, I'm sure they all were, all the drivers.
Well, I'm sure they were, but...
You know, Jenson Button, right? When Jenson Button went to play in Formula One for the first time...
Yes.
And he had this girlfriend in Devon...
Yes.
And they interviewed him on the papers. He said, I trust my Jenson.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be back in the end of the season
to see
me. And I'm flying out to see him when he's in Monte Carlo.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I think he lasted about a week.
Yeah,
and the next thing, he was in bed
with three Dutch supermodels at the same time.
Yeah.
When he got to Monte Carlo, they put him on a yacht. And I remember reading the piece that, you know, and he was still only about 19 or something.
Yeah.
This is your yacht.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's my yacht? Yeah, my yacht? Yeah, for the week. Oh, great. Yeah. And he found this button where he said, where's the television? They said, press that button. And all of a sudden, you know, the wall opened and there was this, like, you know, full-length wall TV and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And he said, this is cool, man, you know, that sort of stuff.
And
you
he never rang the girl from Devon ever again.
What was Eddie's name? Eddie, very well-known, Northern Ireland, all that. Mm. But anyway, so this hopeless correspondent we had, you know, fucking useless. But the best bit of it, which you couldn't put on radio, was he said, yes, he said, you know, every morning when we want to talk to Eddie, you know, he comes into the garage, he's always late, looks dishevelled, and then spends the next 30 minutes telling us what extreme sexual pursuits he's been indulging himself in overnight with up to 6 women.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I mean, if you're not going to be doing that when you're in Formula One racing, what's the point?
No, exactly.
You know.
Anyway, so let's go. Keep going down the list.
As if we're not finished the list yet.
No, Sean Diddy Combs.
Oh yeah, P
rapper.
Diddy.
Is that P Diddy?
That's
okay.
P Diddy.
Now Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee. Yes.
Yeah. He said in 2004.
He's Pamela Anderson's ex, isn't he?
He's married to Pamela Anderson, wasn't he?
Well, have you not seen the video?
I haven't actually. I don't wish to see that sort of thing.
You must have
seen it. Is this a very graphic video, is it?
This is a very graphic sexual
activity
video.
Family show.
Tommy Lee shagging Pamela Anderson.
Oh, I don't want to know about that.
And also, there's quite a good section of.
I think we should remove that from this section of the show.
Quite a good section of when he's driving the car as well.
Oh, dear. Right.
Of course, everybody's seen it.
Right, okay. So, anyway, the next one is some guy called Usher.
Usher, yeah, he's also a musician.
R&B star.
Yeah.
Right, we move on to Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler, a Scottish
actor.
He was up in... do you remember when we went up to Celtic with Rod?
Yes.
Sir Rod, I should say. Yes. He was there.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah,
what's
we had
he
pictures
started?
Taken with him. He's in all sorts. He's been in all sorts of movies.
We had pictures taken with him?
Well, we didn't, but he was having his pictures taken with Rod.
Oh, I see. Right, OK. Yeah, OK, fine. Next one, Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones, really?
Music producer.
He's a bit long in the tooth.
He was Michael Jackson's producer, wasn't he?
He was.
Right, let's keep going. Andre Balazs. US hotelier who had split from actress Uma Thurman when he saw Naomi and said, I'm glad I've got rid of Uma.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Uma Thurman was in Kill Bill, wasn't she?
She was. She was also in Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, that's right, that's the one, yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to find Irish Formula One drivers. I'm not finding anybody
Eddie,
called Eddie.
It's not Mert. Eddie Irvine. That's Eddie Irvine.
Did I not say Eddie Irvine?
No, you didn't. It is Eddie Irvine.
Eddie Jordan,
You said Eddie Jordan. Eddie Jordan was the owner of the Jordan.
We've had Eddie Irvine on the show.
We have, yeah. Eddie, well, apparently he's a mass shagger, mega shagger.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, he apparently, the last piece I read on Eddie Irvine was, he feels a little bit sort of guilty of his excessive past now. And he tries to live in his home in Florida on $30 a day.
Right.
Giving up drink and all that kind of stuff, you know. He just wants to live very, very sparingly.
Well, frugally,
you know?
Like a Spartan.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah,
well, I think
yeah.
there is a point at which, if you've been living like that, you can't keep doing it, because in the end, it's actually quite boring.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah,
I'm seriously, I mean, if you've done it for 20-odd years.
Yeah, you know what sure, I mean? Sure. Let's keep going, because there's plenty more. Marcus Elias...
I thought you were going to say Marcus Aurelius from The Gladiator.
No. Marcus Elias.
I'm not sure I know who that
Brazilian
is.
Brazilian equity magnate worth over $1 billion.
Okay.
Right? About 2008.
Yeah,
she doesn't pick dustman.
No.
Dustbinman, you know?
No, there won't be any dustman on that list.
No.
I think you'll find.
Vladislav Doronin.
Don't know him either.
Another billionaire of Russian descent, okay. He met her at the Cannes Film Festival, and they actually went out from 2008 to 2013.
Wow.
And he was always penned in as the first Mr. Naomi Campbell.
Okay.
But it never happened.
Do you remember that time when she got into a fight on the British Airways plane?
Yeah.
And she got chucked off, didn't she?
There's something about having to put her bag in. Yeah. She couldn't put her bag up on the bag rack.
And she became very abusive.
Well, there's also been things about her throwing phones at people, the allegations of, you know what I mean?
Right.
But now the next one, Michael Fassbender.
He's an actor, yeah, I know him.
She was said to be smitten with him during their fling in 2014. Fassbender,
yeah.
I don't remember him in anything
good. Yeah, he's been in some good movies, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hassan Jameel.
Don't know him.
Another billionaire.
Okay.
Saudi billionaire.
Right.
From 2016. Louis C. Camilleri.
Don't know him.
A billionaire Egyptian tobacco tycoon. I didn't know they grew tobacco
nice work
in Egypt.
If you get it.
Did you?
Well, I suppose so. I don't know.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Well, maybe he doesn't grow it there. Maybe he's just a tycoon.
Maybe just tycoon. He grows it in places where they grow tobacco.
Yeah.
Like the south of America and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And finally, Skepta.
Skepta.
A British rapper who she was seeing early last year before they split in April.
Okay.
Again,
the thing I don't
much
like about the Liam Payne story, though, and I read it over the weekend the other week, was that basically it was all about how they were having this great sex.
Oh, really?
I don't really want to know about that.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't know about people's the intimacy.
Well, you've just spent 15 minutes talking about Naomi Campbell's sex life.
I haven't.
Yes, you have.
I haven't. I've been talking about
boyfriends. All the boyfriends. What do you think she's been doing with them?
Well, listen, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on that. All I can tell you is that, you know, she is a lady of a certain age. She's very attractive. She's a very rich, wealthy model. Of course, she would have dated some of the most famous men in the world. Good luck to her, I say.
Do you?
I do.
Very good. We're the two mics.
You could walk down, you know, Central Park West and go to coffee bars and sit in coffee bars and have coffee with Yoko.
Mm.
And nobody hassled him. Nobody bothered him. Because it was so... well, we know it was, isn't it? You used to see, like, stars making films on the streets all the time.
It wasn't cool to go up to people.
No, it wasn't cool at all.
And the only people that do it are actually tourists.
the only people who are tourists. Remember once Jane Seaman, that is.
Yeah.
She met
your ex.
Not my ex.
Well, she is your ex.
No, really, she's a friend. Not really. In New York.
Well, you slept with her.
Well, yeah, but I mean, a lot of people did, to be unfair, you know. You know, yeah.
I did.
Well, no, bizarrely. No, but you were with Susan, and if you weren't engaged, you were married or whatever, you know. I loved all the.
I mean, I like Rocky One.
Yeah.
And I quite like Rocky, the one with Dolph Lundgren.
Sure.
Which I think is Rocky Four.
Rocky Four, yeah, that's
that
right.
I quite like.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
I didn't like the Mr. T one.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, anyway, so let's go down this.
He must have been a lot taller than Stallone, because he's tiny.
He's tiny, 5 foot eight.
He's standing in a box.
Sly Stallone, I remember, on the front of the News of the World, when they used to get away with writing these things, actually said that Stallone, allegedly, according to this report in the News of the World, which is no longer around, so they can't sue me, but the Sly Stallone might. they allege that he made a movie, you know, an in-house movie of their sexual shenanigans, you know what I mean?
Well,
you
I've certainly heard stories about Stallone that I can't repeat until after he's dead.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And then I'll tell you.
I didn't know they grew tobacco in Egypt.
You get it.
Did you?
Well, I suppose so, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, maybe he doesn't grow it there, maybe he's just a tycoon.
Maybe just tycoon, he grows it in places where they grow tobacco.
Yeah.
Oh, she's very upset.
Yeah.
She didn't wash her hair for a week.
Really?
Didn't wash her hair
for a week. I thought that's pretty much normal for Cheshire, isn't it?
What a stupid thing to say.